This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Necessary Roughness, brought to you by Southfield Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. With 11-year NFL veteran, Big Ten Offensive Lineman of the Year, and captain of the National Championship Michigan Wolverines, John Jansen. And 10-year NFL veteran, two-time Pro Bowl offensive tackle, and Super Bowl champion with the Green Bay Packers, T.J. Lang. Now, here's John Jansen and T.J. Lang.
Well, T.J., we are live from Lions training camp down here in Allen Park, and I had a chance to watch the team yesterday, first day of pads. I know that you were down here this morning watching things as things develop. Give us your initial impressions of what you see from the Lions so far.
Well, it's finally real football, John, meaning the pads are on. This was my first time coming down here today, and I just don't have much interest watching guys run around in shorts and T-shirts. And it's hard to learn about the guys. It's hard to evaluate when the pads aren't on. But now, hey, look, pads are on. There's nowhere to hide. So you're obviously looking for some of the position battles we talked about, you know, last week. Linebacker group, it looked like early on, Anzalone and Derek Barnes are working together. Looked like Jared Davis and Malcolm Rodriguez working together a little bit. I think maybe not a surprise, but when we talked about the quarterback position, the number two spot, David Blau is getting some reps ahead of Tim Boyle there at with the twos. Now maybe that's something that they're probably rotating maybe each period or each day, who's going to run with the twos, having a competition like that. But I got to tell you, man, I think the impressive thing, too, as we sit here on a Tuesday morning, you know, the crowd. Look at all these people out here. I mean, it's not just for the the hard knocks trying to get on TV, trying to get on HBO. Guys are actually excited about this team. So I think that's something that definitely sticks out. The energy around here just feels very high, especially at this point of the season.
Well, there's a lot to be excited about. There's a lot of buzz, not just locally, but nationally. And, yeah, Hard Knocks is here. We're going to get a chance to see that first episode next Tuesday night, the 9th. The buzz, it has no impact right now, but the fact that they are going to host the draft in a couple of years, there's just a lot of national love for the Detroit Lions, or at least I say not necessarily say love, but awareness of the fact that the Detroit Lions have not had a great season since 1957. They've only had one playoff win since 1957, and as we start watching this year's iteration of the Detroit Lions, you mentioned Alex Anzalone, and our initial impressions, especially with the fact that we're learning more about what this defense is going to be. If they're only going to be using two linebackers, that was a position battle you and I both identified over the last couple of weeks that to keep an eye on, because they do have some newcomers. And Jared Davis is back, but they've got Chris Board coming over from Baltimore, Malcolm Rodriguez, a draft pick, Sean Dion Hamilton, another guy, undrafted guy, Derek Barnes, as you mentioned. So there's a lot of bodies, and as we watch, you and I have kind of always not been that impressed with Alex Anzalone. Do you think he could be one of those veteran players that could, by the time training camp is over, the fact that they're only, for a large part, going to be using two linebackers, be a veteran that might be on the chopping block?
Well, he could be. I mean, it's obviously still pretty early to talk about, you know, maybe surprise cuts. Maybe a couple weeks from now we'll start to get a more clear picture. But, yeah, I think it all depends on, look, the development of Derek Barnes, right? And Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes are obviously a couple guys who have said in recent weeks that they're counting a lot on these year two guys making that big step. Derek Barnes, you talk about maybe being the most important of that group, just because we saw flashes at times last year. We just didn't see the consistency. He's a guy that can come in and flash and throughout training camp and the preseason earn a spot. You combine that with maybe a guy like Jared Davis maybe making big improvements, and we've obviously all heard the buzz around Malcolm Rodriguez as well. So if you have three young guys there that you're confident that can take over and be the leaders of your defense, I mean, look, that's kind of a scary thing when you talk about a veteran's point of view. So Anzalone, obviously the coaches love this guy. They coached him in New Orleans. They brought him over here. He was a captain last year. He's still a solid player, but would I be surprised to see Derek Barnes, Jared Davis, Malcolm, or those type of guys outplay him? I don't think I would. So, you know, that's definitely, as we talked about, you know, last show, that's the one position that I think a lot of us are going to be watching as this training camp and as this preseason develops.
Yeah, Jared Davis, obviously his second go-around here in Detroit. We're going to get a chance to see athletically. You know, they don't necessarily compare, but the production on the field, Alex Anzalone, throughout his career has been more productive than Jared Davis has been, but we'll get a chance to see how he fits into this defense. And you know, yesterday you mentioned it, pads went on for the very first time. We saw some highlights of Penei Sewell running over Jeff Okuda, which I don't know if you ever had that. I know guards like to pull between the tackles. Tackles are the ones, the athletes that get to a chance to pull out and try and block some of those better athletes. Your impression so far of what you've seen from not just this offensive line, but really from Penei Sewell in year two of being, you know, switching from left to right, what have you seen from him so far?
I think consistency. And, man, you talk about a name that has just been, you know, popping off the last couple days of pads. I mean, Penei Sewell seems to be at the top. There's a lot of people impressed with the strides that he has made from year one to year two so far, right? The footwork, being more consistent with the hand placement. We all know what kind of physical specimen he yeah. is and can be. We saw it last year getting in the face of Aaron Donald, getting in the face of Jadeveon Clowney. He's not a guy that's going to back away from altercation. So he's a guy, man, I got to tell you, there's just a lot of buzz around him right now. And talking to a couple of the coaches earlier in the week, I mean, there's a lot of excitement. This guy can be stay away from predictions, but he can be as good as he wants to be. And he's still thinking. I mean, John, he's 21 years old.
I know.
I mean,
so
he's still only 21. He's not going to be 22, I think, until October, November. Just to think about, he's still a pup, man, and he's out there, and he looks like a 10-year veteran out there. But, you know, going back to that, there's obviously been a lot of chatter about Aiden Hutchinson. Everybody's excited to see him. There was a couple clips that came out earlier in the week about, you know, one-on-ones and Penei Sewell getting the best of him. Look, that's only going to make Hutchinson better. We all had teammates that we played against that, you know, but the week sucked. I hated blocking guys like B.J. Raji and Mike Daniels. But by the time I got to Sunday, my job was so much easier because nobody I faced was really better than those guys that I felt. So that's gonna take Aiden Hutchinson a long way in his development.
Yeah, when you get a chance to play against guys that have experience and they're not going to give you every trick in the book. We talked to Frank Ragnow on the morning show yesterday, and you know, he was talking about, you know, the development of Liam McNeil, of Levi Onwuzurike, and the conversations that he has with them. And yeah, he's going to help them, but you know, hey, you're still a competition out here. He's not going to tell them every trick in the book just you know yet. That's some of those things you've got to learn throughout the course of training camp. And there's a lot of things that we want to get to today, but the first thing that I want to ask you, and it kind of goes along with, you know, the talent level on this roster and the benefit of practicing against that talent. You and I have both had this experience. When I was at Michigan, I was playing against guys that I knew were going to be playing on Sundays. And then obviously when I was with the Redskins, had teammates like Kennard Lang, Marco Coleman, you know, and you get a chance, you know, Jason Taylor later in his career. When you play against that level of competition, day in, day out, you mentioned it, Sundays become a relief. And you learn so much from those guys, especially, you know, even if they're not the top guys at their position anymore, but just the experience that they bring to a practice, how to prepare, all of those different things. And you can hear the fans that are currently here watching the end of practice. But the base of this team? We know it's a team last year that started a full-on rebuild. They traded Matthew Stafford. They got two first-round picks in return. They got Jared Goff in return. And then last year they go out, they get Penei Sewell, Amon-Ra St. Brown later in the draft, but he proved to be one of their better picks. We've already talked about Derek Barnes, Aleem McNeil, Levi Onwuzurike. Then you look at this year's draft, and we don't yet know what these players are going to be, but you've got on the defensive side of things, Aiden Hutchinson. We don't yet know what Josh Pascal is going to be because he had that hernia surgery. Kirby Joseph in the secondary. There's a lot of talk about how excited they are with him. Malcolm Rodriguez. I mean, you're starting to develop a very good core of talented players. How much does that lend to the excitement? Not necessarily this year, because there's still going to be a learning curve with, obviously, those guys that were drafted just this year.
Yeah.
But as Brad Holmes continues to put these drafts together, and then you start adding some pieces in free agency, that's got to be a big part of what we're hearing across the country of look out for the Lions. And whether it's this year or it's in 23, are you excited about the core group of guys that they're building?
Yeah, I think you have to. And I think it was interesting last week when Dan Campbell said, he's talking a lot about that draft class from last year and the guys that are going into year two now. And he called a lot of those guys their core players, yep. Right? You don't really hear a coach say that about young players. You usually hear him say about the veteran type guys. But when you really look at the roster, I mean, they are still a pretty damn young team.
Yeah.
Their core is young guys, 24, 25-year-olds. Penei Sewell being 21, like we mentioned. But I think it goes back to just trying to build this thing the right way, right? Trying to build this thing your way, by meaning Brad Holmes, putting your stamp on this team and this franchise. He's obviously had a proven, we don't know how much he was involved actually drafting the guys in the Rams, but the guys yeah. that did take, the guys that you looked last year, like you mentioned, Sewell, Amon-Ra St. Brown, you can tell that he's picking guys that he wants to fit this culture, to build this culture, to really start from scratch. Now, I know he said, when you talked to him this morning, he said they didn't feel like they needed to start it from scratch, but building these young guys, I mean, that's how you develop a team. That's how you bring in and try to build your culture, right? So I'm excited. I mean, obviously, we're day two of bad, so it's really hard to tell which players are going to make a huge impact. But it is when you have a good, healthy mix of veterans that are hungry to compete and still earn their job in the NFL, combine that with a group of hungry young players that are just breaking into the league and trying to make a name for themselves. At the end of the day, it's all about competition. It's about making yourself better, making your teammates better, and just competing every single day. And that's what we've seen so far throughout the start of training camp.
And you made an interesting observation before you and I started talking here on the podcast about Aiden Hutchinson. And again, we're not sending anybody to the Hall of Fame, and we're not calling anybody a bust because this is day two of pads for a rookie season. What was the observation that you made?
Well, I think, the first thing was...
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Craig doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
He was on the ground a few times, which doesn't tell you he's a bad athlete, but maybe it tells you maybe he's a little overhyped still on day two and he's kind of just, loose cannon type, just running all over the place trying to make plays. The other thing I saw was, he's going against some pretty damn good tackles in Penei Sewell and Taylor Decker. And a couple times, and I'm glad you prefaced this. We're not trying to sound the alarms or anything, but he had trouble kind of getting off blocks, right? Guys getting in his chest, and he kind of had a hard time figuring out how to disengage. Now, that's obviously going to come with time. Like we said, it's only day two of pads, and you're going against two pretty damn good tackles. He's going to learn a lot from going against those type of guys. But those are just some observations that I saw early throughout this morning was, okay, he's got a lot of work to do. But that's why, he was the number two pick, because You know he's that type of guy that's going to put in the work. You know he's that type of guy that he's not going to let himself get frustrated and let his confidence go down. It's only going to make him work harder. So that's a battle, man. I'm telling you, that battle just between watching him and Sewell particularly,
yeah,
that's going to elevate both of their games to the next level.
And I want to take those two conversations we just had and kind of marry them, because I remember last year. Now, this was a position change for Penei Sewell, but I remember a few of my first observations was – And we heard people talk about, well, if you're a great left tackle, you should be able to move over to the other side. And the context of coming out of a right-handed stance as opposed to a left-handed stance, those steps, the body position, all of that is completely different. But there, I did make some observations early last year, very similar to what you made, that I thought Penei Sewell, for as good of an athlete that he was reported to have been, was on the ground too much. There were too many times where he was out of balance. Now, you fast forward to this year, and I'm watching the film from yesterday's practice, and I'm watching a guy that has great body angle in regards to all the way from his ankles to his knees to his hips to his shoulders. It just looks like he was built to play the game of football. When he walks around, he's walking around with great balance. When he comes out of his stance, whether it's a 2 or a 3-point stance, I see great balance. I see the ability to change directions, and it's smooth. It's not herky-jerky, the use of his hands. It's so much better this year because, one, he's much more comfortable in the system. He's much more comfortable in his surroundings. He's a year older, a year more developed. I also believe that same thing will hold true for Aiden Hutchinson when we talk about, hey, he's on the ground too much. This is day two of pads. I don't think that we're going to continue to see him laying on the ground as much as we have in these first 2 days. Some of that can also be, hey, he's an effort guy.
Yeah.
Like, that's part of what his selling point to Dan Campbell, to this organization, why he was drafted number 2 overall, is that he's an effort guy. It's an effort in the meetings. It's an effort in the training room. But when you're on the field, it's an effort thing. And he's got to learn that, yeah, effort is what's going to make a lot of plays, but that effort can also get you in some trouble. It's not always, you know, work harder. It's sometimes it's simply work smarter.
Yeah, and that obviously, a lot of that comes with experience, right?
Yeah.
When you see it repetition after repetition after repetition, you stop kind of biting on some of those play fakes, right? You start to read stances, you read keys, whatever it is, alignment from the offense, alignment tight end, that all comes with time. I don't expect him to come out on day two and, you know all of that, because it's just, look, you got to go through it. You got to experience, right? And you got to learn from those experiences. But the other thing too, like Penei Sewell last year, I remember, you know, he got tested Week 1, right?
Yeah.
Nick Bosa, San Francisco, one of the best edge rushers out there. And we're all watching, and we're kind of breaking down. And, you know, the footwork was a little sloppy. The hand placement was a little sloppy, right? But a lot of this for the young players, and you just kind of mentioned Penei Sewell and Aiden Hutchinson, put them in the same boat. These are guys that absolutely dominated in college, right?
Yeah.
They didn't probably have to be as technically sound in college because they were bigger than everybody. They were faster than everybody. They were stronger than everybody. They could just run people over. You learn in the NFL. Now, sometimes it takes a little bit longer, but every rookie goes through it. You can't get away with that anymore, right? You're not – Penei Sewell and Taylor Decker aren't guys that you're just going to put your head in their chest and run them over. So it all comes with experience. It all comes with developing, right? And that's what – one thing with that we saw so far from Penei Sewell last year, you talked about some of the technique stuff and some of the, you know, whatever, the body angles, how much they've improved. Aiden Hutchinson is going to be that guy. He's going to continue to improve as well, because there's going to come a time where it clicks to say, I can't do what I did at Michigan anymore. These guys are just too damn good.
Yeah.
I've got to change something up. And he's, you know, like you said, he's that effort type of guy. He's that confident guy that he's going to do that. He's going to get there. We just don't – look, he could come out tomorrow and – all of a sudden it could snap and be totally better. It could wait, you know, maybe Week 1. It's flip a switch. You never know what it's going to happen, but these players definitely learn at an early stage of their career that, you know, this is the NFL. It's a totally different ballgame.
And that's the frustrating thing about rookies is no matter where you're drafted, no matter your potential, no matter your skill set, a lot of times rookies have that up and down season, and it happens in practice. And that's where you've got to learn to be consistent in practice. That consistency in practice will translate to consistency in games. But the thing about rookies is, and I remember my rookie season, I would have a game where I thought, man, you know what? I've got it figured out. And then all of a sudden, next week, because it's a different opponent, it's a different scheme, it's a different setting, everything is different. All of a sudden, it's like, God, do I even belong in the NFL? Because yeah. And that's the frustrating thing about being a competitor and trying to continue to improve. But you know, we got some injury updates that we want to get to in just a minute. Now, TJ, I mentioned there was some injury updates. We saw Quintez Cephas earlier today get helped into the locker room. Lower body injury. We don't know yet what it is. Aleem McNeil, in about the last half hour of practice, was slow getting up. But as we know from being young and the benefit of youth, he was back at it a few plays later. So we don't believe it's anything serious for Aleem McNeil. And he's one of the guys that Frank talked about yesterday, that he was flying around day one of pads. And the difference, you mentioned it, of evaluating. In OTAs, the only thing that you can evaluate is either how smart or dumb a guy is. I mean, that's about it.
Know how to line up. Know your assignment.
Yeah,
right.
Show up on time.
You're not trying to overpower
guys. Be in the
guys.
Right gear. Right. Yeah. But even early on in training camp, like, it's really still only how smart or dumb a guy is. But when you get to the first day of pads, now that all changes because it's more NFL-style football. It's not game speed. It's not playoff speed. And honestly, any of these guys probably wouldn't know what playoff speed was. But the evaluation of the team pre-pads and post-pads.
Yeah, well, I mean, it breaks down to two categories, right? I think there's always the pre-snap. You know, alignment, assignment, is the guy aligned in the right way, you know, the right position? Does he know what he's doing, right?
Go on the right snap
He's
count.
Supposed to slant in here. Hey, we got a pressure coming from the right, you know. Hey, we got a pressure coming from the left. Whatever you're supposed to do. I think a lot of, like you said, OTAs, shorts, helmets, that's a lot of the time to really focus and concentrate on that because it's not so much about being physically dominant. But now when you put the pads on, you've got to combine that with the other aspect, which is actually doing your job, right? It's no longer just, hey, I'm in the right spot, and I did the right thing by slanting, you know, inside, or I did this. And it, now you got to win. Now you got to beat your one-on-one guy. You got to win that matchup. So now it all comes down to how well can you put those two things together, right? Not only knowing what you're doing, knowing where you're supposed to align, but doing your job, right? Because that's the easy part. The easy part is, okay, I'm lined up here. I'm a three tech. I'm slanting to the A-gap, right? Now I got to do it. Now I got to beat the guard. Now I got to beat the double team. Now I got to read my keys. Is it pass? Is it play action? Is it a run? Or, you know, what's going on? That's all the next step in the progression when it comes to throwing pads on is now you just add in that extra physical element that is going to make a lot of these guys either stand up, you know, kind of stick out in a positive way.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you see it every year. You're going to see guys that just kind of crumble when the pads come on. And that's why I said to start the show, I mean, I love coming out here in pads because there's nowhere to hide. There's nowhere
something.
To hide anymore.
Yeah. And I got to ask you this question before we go. Practice is just now ending as we're watching the team huddle up. When we talk about Penei Sewell, we talk about Aiden Hutchinson. You know, when you talk about guys like Amon-Ra St. Brown, some young players that are still – finding their way. You can try some new things in OTAs. You can even try some new things at the start of training camp, but you really never know if those new techniques will work until you get to the padded practices. How often in training camp would you try new techniques? How often did you feel you had that latitude to try something new, knowing that it might be successful, but it also might be a gigantic failure?
Yeah, quite often. But like you said, I mean, you always practice is the best time to try those, right? You don't want to get in game and say, "Well, I think I'm going to try this for the first time,
yes.
Something that I've never tried before."
Uh-huh.
You always want to practice it, but also there's always that thing in the back of your mind where, look, I used to take one-on-one pass rush, right? And I'd say, "Okay, I'm going to work on a couple different sets here. If I get beat, whatever, I get beat."
Yeah.
But there's also that pride factor, especially when there's fans out at practice and maybe you're trying something new and it doesn't work out and you get beat and everybody's like, oh, he sucks. He just got his ass kicked. Yeah, you know, on that rip.
Especially with Twitter now. As soon as it happens, it's out there. Oh, man, look at this. He's terrible.
And that could kind of make you hesitate to say, oh, maybe I don't want to try anything new because I just don't want to get beat, right?
Yeah.
And I don't want a bad evaluation on that rep or that drill or that period, whatever you're going through. But as a vet, I think it's much easier, you know, to go through those things and just to try some, whether it's a pass set, whether it's, hey, I want to do this with my hands, maybe I'm going to flash, maybe I'm going to punch, whatever you want to do. Practice is always the best time to do that. But you also have to understand, at the end of the day, especially for young guys that are coming out here to compete for jobs,
yeah,
you have to be productive. So maybe it's not the best time to try something new if you're a young player, because yeah, that could be the difference, maybe one or two reps when the coaches and the, you know, Brad are sitting there evaluating practice, who gets the upper hand. Hey, this guy lost one more rep than this guy did. A lot of times they don't care if you're trying something new. They just want to see you compete and do your job. So I would say there's definitely a fine line that you have to try to balance at.
Well, we're going to continue to bring you everything that happens down here at Allen Park at Lions training camp. Throughout the course of training camp leading in through the preseason games, and TJ, I know you're super excited for that first preseason game.
Oh, man, I've got to tell you, the hardest part is trying to memorize 90 different guys. I'm out here even
40
today.
40 guys practice, on each side already going to be there.
Who's number five? Who's number this? Who's number this? Yeah. Not only do you have guys, you know, a ton of new guys, but you got guys changing. Like we said, Jeff Okuda's on his third number. It's like, who knows that number
years.
One out there, right? So yeah, there's a lot of homework that's got to go into it. But you know what? Just being back out here, smelling the grass,
yep,
hearing the pads pop. Although you can't really hear the pads pop anymore with those giant pillows on their helmets, which is a little bit different. But this is the first time I think this summer for me where I'm like, hell yeah, it's football time. Let's go, man. So we're right around the corner, man. We got a week and a half until the first preseason game, and we know how quick that goes. And then, September will be here soon. They're going to be ready to roll into the season, man. But this is a beautiful time of year.
It is. We'll continue to, like I said, bring you the updates from Allen Park, Lions training camp. He's Lang. I'm Jansen on Necessary Roughness.